picnic afterwards. I guess it's universally known. And we will probably eat around noonish because we got to get over there, crank up the grills, and cook the hot dogs and hamburgers. So if you have to run home and get something, you got time, et cetera, et cetera. I'll try to get out of here at 5:30. No promises. Okay. Remember that chart? Yeah, you do. I'm gone a week. I feel like I was gone a year. No, I do. I just feel like we're all out of pocket. And it's like you're... Never mind. That's a good thing, because that demonstrates that you're healthy spiritually. If you're of the mindset, oh, we got to go back, then that's probably another problem, okay? All right, that's the rebound technique. It was probably the first doctrine. I may not have been the absolute first, but it was at the top of the list of doctrines that hit me like a freight train when I heard that one. It even made me mad. Because why didn't they teach me this? Why didn't they teach me? I mean, it's basic doctrine. It isn't like this is some advanced doctrine. This is a basic doctrine based on 1 John 1:9 and everywhere else. And starts making sense of all kinds of verses in the Bible that would make no sense. I heard that one and it was revelatory. It was like, a bolt out of the sky. Yes, I even got salvation straight. No, I realized it was through Christ and you had to believe in him and all that. But it wasn't pared down to where you could just say, hey, sir, all you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. And all you got to do is exercise faith. You know in your own heart, if you heard this and that God sent his son into the world and died for your sins, and all you got to do is believe in the one who died and was raised from the dead, all you got to do is believe in him, and you got eternal life right then and there. And all your sins are forgiven, and it's a new, fresh start, and you're a child of God forever. Why? That's the penalty in a lot of these fundamentalist churches, is a lack of clarity on this. When you try to tie salvation to behavior, now that you're saved, you don't want to do those anything anymore. Like blank. Are you kidding me? So you got saved, now you don't, and your sin nature has been anesthetized. That's another one. No, read Romans 7 and see if Paul's was taken out of action, circulation. He said, I was stirred up by reading the 10th commandment, you shall not lust. I had lust in every way. He's not talking about as an unbeliever. That wouldn't make any sense. He's talking about as a believer, fighting his STA and his lust pattern. They don't want to be honest about this. They don't want to cut. They want this self-righteous. Now that you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ, and therefore you aren't going to want to do any of those things. Really? They weren't honest, and they kept us running in little circles and wondering, well, was I really saved? Did it really take? We're free from that. We're totally free from it. You can't blame yourself because you got a sin nature. I didn't order mine. Online. It was handed to me, full blown. And it didn't go away. Yes, I've got doctrine so I can curb things, rebound when I sin, and get myself back in fellowship. That's the Christian way of life, in addition to growing up spiritually. All right, doctrine of importance of doctrine. It's like, well, how important is physical food to your physical health? Okay. The point three here, Moses in his parting address to Israel made it clear that attitude towards doctrine, that would be the Mosaic law. That was their marching orders. Study the law of Moses, and individually and collectively abide by it. This would determine national and so a blessing. This explains the whole history of Israel. Israel's history. another thing that people don't want to be honest about is that they, towards, it's at the end of Deuteronomy 28, there's more on it, but this is broken down into the, for the individuals and for the nation at large, the blessing and the cursing. You want to be blessed? Here's what you do. Blessed of God, taken care of in every way you can imagine. Or if you want to be cursed in every way you can imagine, then you reject this law. Now, to break it all down, they didn't have to be perfect. They just had to be on line with the law and so forth. This is what God promised to Israel. This is on the eve of the transition of leadership from Moses to Joshua and the entrance into the land. And this would be an appropriate time. Moses is going to give his final address to his people, and God's going to take him up on a high mountain and check him out. And Michael, the archangel, buried his body so no one could find it. God has reasons for everything he does. So Moses' remains are still hidden out there, waiting the rapture to be resurrected up out of there. He was put to sleep, as it were. Perfect health. 120 years of age. He could have technically had more years going, but that's the end of his ministry. Now here's what God promised. We're in Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all these commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. That's a mouthful. You mean bigger than Egypt, bigger than all these big bad nations out there? Through history? Yes. That's your national destiny if you will corporately. Now, it doesn't mean it has to come down to the very last Israelite. You never make it. But corporately, there has to be the corporate Israel. Has to be this way. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. See this? Notice all the words of Scripture. They'll come upon you and they'll overtake you. They'll run you down. You don't even have to pursue them. They'll come to your doorstep. And they will overtake you. If you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Urban environment. Urban environments can be horrible. They can be really bad. Look at some of the cities in the United States. The urban environments are really in the toilet. Portland, San Francisco, Chicago with a crazy mayor, which they call Lizard Lightfoot, who told her employees that they all had to take, I don't know if this is true, that they all had to pledge allegiance to the New World Order. Really? And if all the policemen, everybody doesn't get vaccinated, they're fired. Brilliant. What a brilliant leader. They're beyond corrupt. Chicago's always had bad politics, but not like this. Blessed shall you be in the city. And blessed shall you be in the country, urban, rural. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your animals, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Cooking. Culinary. Illustrated by making the basic thing bread. Your basket. That's the thing I tell people. When you go shopping, it doesn't take 2 seconds. Offer up a prayer. God bless my shopping basket. I'm going in here. Bless me. Just a quick prayer. Instead of being jammed by stuff. Blessed shall you be when you come in end of the day, and blessed shall you be when you go out, go to work. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you. He didn't say you're not going to have enemies. Who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, and they'll flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, we'd say businesses, and in all that you put your hand to, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. They won't love you. They'll be afraid of you. The Lord will make you... See, this isn't going to happen over... wouldn't happen overnight. This is a gradual build-up thing from generation to generation that never happened. Israel had its high points, but then they'd go down into the gutter, and then they turn to the Lord, and He'd pull them back up out of it. Well, that's fine, but... and there's a formula for that, too. Reversion, recovery. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity and the offspring of your body. That's repeated. And the offspring of your beast and in the produce of your ground and in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse. The heavens. To give rain to your land in its season. Favorable weather is a sign. And to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you'll not borrow. You'll be a creditor nation. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above, and you will not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments. See, this is the refrain of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully, and not to turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Other gods. There really aren't any other gods, but there's these fictions that the nations were all wrapped up in. All elaborate idolatry. Don't go there. Turn away from that when it comes before you. That's one of the top commandments. Worship God. Don't worship idols. Stay out of that whole mess. Well, Israel didn't do that, did he? And that's why all the bad things that happened to Israel through the Old Testament era was a result that they went after other gods, other viewpoints. Consequences of disobedience. But it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. See, it's just the reverse of the other. The other, you're all going to be overtaken by blessing. This one, you're going to be overtaken by curses. So what does that tell us today? Abide by the truth, hang in there, and you can avoid a lot of stuff that's happening to a lot of people out there. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country. How would that happen? Crime. Rampant crime. Cursed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, miscarriages, and so forth. And the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all that you undertake to do. Frustration. Until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds. Because you've forsaken me. That would be pretty scary stuff. Ought to be read repeatedly to the Israelites in the age of Israel. The Lord will make pestilence cling to you, disease, increase in diseases, until He has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption, and with fever, and inflammation, and with fiery heat, and with the sword, and the blight, and the mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. The heaven which is over you, head, shall be bronze. That's a metaphor, figure of speech. And the earth which is under you, iron. That means no rain. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down until you're destroyed. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You'll go out one way against them, but you will flee seven ways. Just the reverse of the other, as you can see, easily. And you will be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the sky. In other words, no normal burial. And to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors, and with a scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness, mental disease, and with blindness, and bewilderment of heart. And you will grope at noon, and blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you'll only be oppressed and robbed continually with no one to save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you will not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, and you'll not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn away from you and will not be restored to you. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and you will have none to save you. Your sons and daughters will be given to another people, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually. Now, hostages of war, in other words. But there'll be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed, crushed continually. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike on you the knees and legs with sore boils, from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. That's the dispersion of the Israelites under the dispersions. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives you. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather in little, for the locust will consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you'll neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes for the worm will devour them. They had that happen, that particular thing, I forgot the name of it, that hit back in the day, the French vines. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you'll not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they'll not be yours. They'll go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. The alien who is among you shall rise up higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, you'll be the tail. So this is the very simple formula. This goes on and looks forward to Israel's history and the predictions of the horrible things that happened to the Israelites at certain points in their history because they rejected the law, which one of the main pillars was stay away from the religious belief systems of the Gentile nations. Is that hard to figure out? But they went that way. There were times when they recovered spiritually, when they came close to the edge, and they recovered and God restored them. You see that through the Judges era and so forth. You see it in the day of Hezekiah and Isaiah when they turned back the Assyrian threat. But later, the Babylonian came, and there was no turning to the Lord. And they were suffering like mad inside that city. They were reduced to starvation under the siege. And things almost too gross to mention that they were doing to eat to stay alive. Instead of repenting, calling upon the Lord, and letting him turn the tide. They did that in the day of Hezekiah and in the day of Isaiah. And the Assyrians all died outside the city walls. Never got up from their sleep. Learn anything from your history? Israel's difficulty as a race isn't any fault of God's. It is a history of their attitude towards Bible doctrine. In Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm not going to go over all that. You can read it. It's just the misfortunes, the things they suffered is incredible. He says in this chapter, after his main, he says, what I'm telling you is not some idle word. The law and its commandments is your life. Well, it comes down to the individual, as it does today, as they were about to cross the Jordan to possess the land. And so, the last chapter records the death of Moses. The issue is simply stated in Deuteronomy 30, 11, and following. Point four. Job gives a tribute to Bible doctrine. This is before the canon of Scripture, and it is in Job 28. Job is speaking, or writing. He contrasts man's efforts to exploit Earth's hidden resources. Let's just say a diamond mine in South Africa. Wherever people have dug and mined stuff from the earth, God's put in the earth all these minerals, gold and silver, all the rest of it. Mines where they find jewels, gems. He makes a contrast. In Job 28, he gives the efforts people will go to. Back in the day, surely there is a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust, and copper is smelted from rock. Man puts an end to darkness, and to the farthest limit he searches out the rock in the gloom and deep shadow. Underground mines, miners digging, with all the threats and everything that goes with that kind of an occupation. He sinks a shaft far from habitation, forgotten by the foot. They hang and swing to and fro from men. The earth, from it comes food, and underneath is turned up as fire. Well, that volcano on that Canary Island is still cranking. And a big one in Japan is just blown. There's a real good video on Rents they had it on there of that particular explosion on that mountain in Japan. And there's a business of some sort down there. It looks official. There's a parking lot with a bunch of cars on it. And you ought to see it as that thing builds and builds. Those people scurry in like ants in their cars and getting the hell out of Dodge. Because all that ash and smoke is moving towards them. It's ominous. A couple of them in Italy have... This is the time for volcanoes. There's a couple of them in Italy. Mount Etna, that's always been known. It's acting up. But that one, the Palma one, on that Canary Island off the coast of Africa, those pictures of that red lava, oh, it's around 2,000 degrees, melted rock, coming out of there like streams, taking houses out, and now they've got a swarm of earthquakes going with it. It just won't quit. They had one back there there at 71, but nothing like this. Now, the pictures are phenomenal they got of those. You want to go see them. Its rocks are the source of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. Remember the gold rush in America? The path no bird of prey knows, nor has the falcon's eye caught sight of it. I think falcons have pretty good eyesight. Amazing. They can see a little thing way down there that they're going to get for food. The proud beasts have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the base. He hews out channels through the rocks. This is what man does. Building canals. Passageways through mountains. We see it all the time. He overturns the mountains at the base. He hews out channels through the rocks, and his eye sees anything precious. He dams up the streams from flowing. Big construction. Building these big dams that now we use for hydroelectric, and these huge dams so these rivers aren't just running down, like the Hoover Dam. There's a whole history of the building of that thing. It's amazing what man has done. He's not saying this is bad, that they shouldn't be doing this. It's not the point of this. He dams up the streams from flowing. And what is hidden, he brings out to the light. The discovery of stuff. Now, we shift gears. And we shift gears to wisdom. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value. Nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it. I'll go buy truth. Nor can silver be weighed out its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass. Glass probably is like diamond. Cannot equal it. Nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned. And the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it. When they name a place, that means they have the top stuff. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it. Nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death, that's the underworld, say, with our eyes, we've heard a report about it. God understands its way. He knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens, omniscience. When he imparted weight to the wind. Wind has weight. And meted out the waters by measure. When he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt. God's in control of all these forces. Then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That's the starting point. I want to line up with God and his plan because I fear him. And to depart from evil is understanding. Once you come to class and learn, oh, that's evil. I didn't think that was evil. Now I know it is. So I'll turn away from it. Some things obviously people know are evil. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.